Unless the children find their way to children's church, I have to combat the urge just to stay there and worship because it's just, it's wonderful. But anytime that we're in the Word of God, we are still worshiping. So the worship experience is not over. We're going to get into the Word today, and I'm excited. If you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians, I have been preaching more of a topical sermons throughout the summer and everything. That's just where God had led. We finished up this really long study, verse by verse, of Matthew. If you remember that, it took like 3.5 years to get through one gospel of Matthew. But man, it was great. The church has grown through that, and I've learned a lot scripturally. But I've also learned how God will grow the church if we just preach the word. Now, come on, somebody. Amen? Amen. So today, we're going to look at it. We're going to talk about the model church. All right, this is going to be part one. And as we preach through the book of 1 Thessalonians, I'm excited to get back into verse by verse preaching, but I didn't want to rush it. And so I've been praying about it, I've been thinking about it, I've been reading just different, some of the epistles and some of the shorter letters that Paul wrote, and I'm excited to preach 1 Thessalonians. Now, I don't know, we may end up going on into 2nd, I don't know, but we got a ways before we get there, okay? The good news is it's not 28 chapters like Matthew, we're only looking at 5 chapters, but just in the first 3 chapters, I think it is, of Thessalonians, we're going to be looking at the model church. So this is part one of the model church, and today we're going to be focusing on a strong church. What are the traits of a strong church? All right, and it's probably going to take us about 6 weeks to go through the model church if I've got it right, and the Lord might change it, whatever, but that's kind of where I'm headed if you want to know how my brain works. But I love verse-by-verse preaching. It is my favorite. Because today, I don't have to, I prepared a sermon, but it's not a sermon, it's not a message that nobody's ever heard before because Paul wrote this sermon. Paul wrote this message because he wrote the book, and God inspired him to do that. I'm just proclaiming that to you and teaching it, reminding you of what God's Word says today. While there's nothing wrong with me reading commentaries, there's nothing wrong with Bible studies, there's nothing wrong with pastors who write books and people, I believe that God still uses them. I've read a lot of books and different things that I've learned over the years, but I can tell you from my experience when God really spoke to my heart, the times that God has really spoke to my heart, called me into the ministry, called me, told me that I needed to be a better father and a better husband, the leader of my household and different things, calling me to be a pastor. It was when I was in the Word of God. In the Word, not for the sake of just being in the Word of God, but actually say, God, let me understand it. Give me knowledge and understanding of your Word. Let me understand it. Let me walk it out. Let me be a doer of the Word. So with all that being said, I want us to start off by just getting a little quick history, some stuff that about this book. Paul is the author of it. It was written 50 to 52, somewhere right in there, A.D., while Paul was in the city of Corinth. And the purpose was to encourage the church to stand fast, especially against persecution. He commended their strong faith and their love and their hope. He answered against some false charges that were made against him. He encouraged the church to stand fast and to live holy lives. We talked about that last week before we took communion. And he reinforced the great hope of the Lord's return. But he also reinforced the great hope and promised that those who went on before us will be resurrected as well. So today, as we look into the introduction, that's all we're going to look at is the introduction to this letter. These 4 verses give us a clear picture of what a strong church really looks like. A church that is carrying on the work of the Lord. So let's read this simple but powerful introduction to this letter. 1 Thessalonians, verses 1 through 4, it says this. Greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think about your faithful work and your loving deeds and the enduring hope that you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, you know my heart this morning. And you know what we were busy the last couple days and celebrating with a couple in the church that was married, and I feel unprepared this morning, but God, I was up here at the beginning of the service, and I know I have a peace. Lord, I ask that you remove all of that. And then I would just proclaim your word today and the truth that you put on my heart, and that more importantly, that you've already recorded in the scriptures for us to have. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would receive it. We know that nothing that we do for you is in vain. And we proclaim that today. Somebody here needs to hear the message. Maybe it's just me, but somebody, there's going to be some fruit displayed because we're preaching your word. And we proclaim that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think one of the most taken for granted gifts that God has ever given the world, given you and me, is the church. Think about that for a second. Especially in the country that we live in, every street corner there is a church building. Every little town is centered around some churches. It might be different denominations, but they're churches. Now, most people just assume that the church will be there. When they feel like coming, the church will still be there. All right? So often we treat the church like we treat God, don't we? We can benefit from it, then we'll call upon it. If we need God, I need God at this moment in my life. I'm in a valley. I need God. I'm going to go back to church, and I'm assuming that it's going to be there and that there's going to be somebody preaching the word and there's going to be people faithfully serving and the lights are going to be on. There's going to be a place to worship. But we have to remember this. The truth of the matter is this. The church was never intended to be just a place to come when we feel like it, or maybe just to come to sit. Now, if you notice, we got some nice new cushions on the pews. All right? Y'all are like, uh-oh, where are we going today? We were never intended to be comfortable, church. That's not what God created the church for. I remember having the realization when I rededicated my life and he really started to work in my life and I got into the word that it was my time to pick up the torch in the church. I had assumed all my life that somebody else would do it. I had grown up in a Christian home, and I'd seen both of my grandparents on both sides of my family serving the Lord in some capacity, using their gifts to serve the church. I had a pastor that was one grandfather and a pastor's wife and just awesome godly couple. And on the other side of my family, there was another godly couple that, you know what? There was different gifts. I had one granddad that was a pastor preaching. I had one granddad that was busy on Saturday painting the church. And working around the church and being faithful, and a grandmother who was a Sunday school teacher and working with the children and all the things, VBS and all that. I had taken for granted that somebody else would do all the work for the church. But now it was my turn. And it was my turn to serve. That's what God convicted me and made me realize. Anthony, when are you going to start picking up the torch? When are you going to start teaching your children to serve the Lord? So you're raising up another generation to serve just like we're supposed to do. You see, for the church to be strong, it has to have certain things in place, and it has to have certain things right. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. In verse 1, we're going to spend almost half of the sermon in verse 1. So don't panic when we stay in verse 1 for a long time. But it's got so much packed in it for a strong church. And that's what I love about the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Let's look at that, and we'll get started. I don't really have any points today. We're just going to break it down and talk about each verse as we go through it. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody's thinking like, how are we going to do half a sermon on that? Okay, but we're going to break it down because God's word is so deep. Right in the very beginning of verse 1, we see a strong church has to have, and I did not plan this because it's Pastor Appreciation Month, it has to have strong ministers. We got to have strong ministers. Look at what it says. Paul wasn't alone when he wrote this letter. He said, this is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. You see, Simon and Silas and Timothy joined him in encouraging and guiding the church. And that's what it takes. The Thessalonica church was strong because it had godly and faithful ministers. I believe this is one of the biggest problems in our culture today in the church. I really do, church, and I'm not casting stones. I've got plenty of weaknesses in my life, but there are so many churches who are weak because their ministers have not remained faithful to exhort them, to challenge them and to teach the word to them and to encourage them to follow Jesus and maybe even to practice what they preach. So many churches lack vision. The Bible says when there's no vision, the people run wild. Or when the people die, there's death. When there's no vision, the church dies. So many are not challenged and encouraged to follow Jesus. So a strong church has to have strong ministers. The Fork Union Baptist Church, I want to tell you this. You have that. Somebody say, man, that's a prideful pastor. That's a prideful pastor. But I say that like this, and I'm not being prideful when I say that about myself, because it definitely could be if I didn't have the right motives and if I didn't explain myself. But I know for a fact that myself and Pastor Will know where our strength comes from, where our authority comes from. It's not from me or anything that I can do. It's by the Holy Spirit, God's word, and what we do, and we stick to that, and God does the work. We just get to be a vessel in it. Not to mention all those in our congregation who are faithful ministers. Too many of them to mention. You see, this actually leads right into the second thing that Paul points out right here in the introduction to this letter. A strong church needs strong ministers, but it also has to be a church that's of the people. A church of the people, right? It's not the ministers. It's not me and the youth pastor or a group of elders or the deacons. It's not their job to do all the ministry in the church. That's not the way it works. Notice Paul didn't address the church to the church institution or the church building at Thessalonica. Instead, he said this. He addressed it to the church that happens to be in Thessalonica. All right, so what am I saying by that? What does that mean? Paul was writing to the people. He wasn't writing to the youth pastor and saying, hey, you need to keep doing this or you need to do that. He wasn't writing to the pastor. He was writing to the body, those who had given their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just like I said earlier about my realization and my responsibility to serve and to follow Jesus and to serve in the church, Paul knew that without people who were committed to the work of the ministry, following Jesus, without those people, there is no church. Without you all serving and doing and serving and using your gifts as part of the body, there is no church. This letter was addressed to the entire church, not just the leaders. As a strong church, we got to have the people, the body, all plugged in. Again, Fork Union Baptist Church, I could say it every Sunday, and I will still say it the next Sunday. And if you get tired of me saying it, just tell me, and I'll keep on saying it anyways. This church is growing because it's a church of the people. Amen? Right? We all have different gifts. We all have different personalities. We don't all, if you don't believe me, we don't all agree all the time. If you don't believe me, stick around for the business meeting. Okay? But that's okay. We all have different gifts. We all have different personalities. We all have different callings. But each part of us is a part of the body. Each one of us is part of the body working together to serve the Lord. Those who preach and teach, you know what we do it? Why we do it? We do it to equip you so you will make sure that you understand that God has a work for you and a calling for you to do. Now, am I making that up? I don't know. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. It says this. Now, these are the gifts. Y'all didn't know I was a gift, did you? Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Are we understanding now that we are to be a church of the people? Somebody here today is saying, well, I don't have anything to offer to the church. That's a lie. That's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from yourself. That's a lie from your shame or whatever it is that you're dealing with or whatever. But I'm telling you, once you have given your life to Jesus, he has a purpose for you. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on too. All right, still in verse 1. We're going to keep going. We see that a strong church is founded and rooted in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. In case you were wondering what this church believes, what my heart believes and what I know to be the truth and what this church stands on and believes, we believe in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep it simple. What does the word say? It says that God sent his one and only Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what we believe. We believe that Jesus is God, the eternal Son embodied. He came down from heaven in his perfect place in human flesh. He was sent here to earth to save us. Humbled himself, became a servant. And we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world that was promised from the very, very beginning. I see promises in fulfillment, right? God doesn't make a promise and forget about it. He didn't do that with Christ, and he's not going to do it in the future. He's not, Christ is going to come back. If he said Jesus is coming back, he's coming back. Amen? 1 John 4:15 says this, all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. You see, once we surrender to Jesus Christ, once I give my life to Christ, and I'm baptized in the name of Jesus, when I surrender my life, and he's forgiven me, I'm made new. This is when we find out just how amazing God's grace really is. It's the amazing grace of God that allows me to stand here and preach the word to you today. That's the way it works. His peace, we really experience his peace in our life working. A strong church is one that has to be founded and centered on God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't go to the left or the right. We stick right to that. Still in verse 1. We're going to keep going. Paul ends this verse by reminding the church this, that we have to possess the greatest gifts that he gave us. A strong church is one that stands and serves in that grace that we talked about. We ought to stand. Everything that we do is because of God's grace. It's not, well, Pastor, you preached a great sermon today. Or outreach team, this event was so wonderful. And we say, oh, thank you. Yes, I worked very hard and I am so thankful. And thank you for the cards that you all have given me because I'm such a wonderful pastor. No, I'm not a wonderful pastor. It's by the grace of God that anything good comes of my life because I'm a wretched sinner who was born again when I gave my life to Jesus and I put my faith in what he did on that cross for me. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. It's a blessing. God's grace means that we have undeserved favor, undeserved blessings from God. There's nothing I did to earn it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 through 10 is a very common scripture for believers. But we're going to go there because it says this. God saved you what, church? By his grace. By his undeserved favor and his undeserved blessings on you. He saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. I love that. Nothing I could do to earn it. I can't take credit for it. He goes on to say this. It is a gift from God. You got to receive the gift. Have you received the gift from God? He gave you a gift. And he goes on to say this, salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ. He doesn't say he's created us a little bit better or cleaned us up a little bit. We are created anew in Christ Jesus. Now this is where I want to go back to what we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 4. Equipping God's people. Listen what he says. It says, so we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. You want to blow your mind. Think about God in heaven, his spirit hovering over the earth before the creation. And he already had a work planned out for you. In Christ, he already knew that he was going to send his son to save Anthony Clore so one day he could pastor a church and he could proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He knew that our youth group would be here today. He knew all that. We can't even fathom how wonderful and how big and how awesome God's plan and his promises and his fulfillments really are. So to have his peace means that we are secure, that we are confident. We're not walking around like the rest of the world with no hope. We have a confident hope of God's love and his care in our life, not only for this life now, but secure for all eternity. Why would we fear death? The Bible says, Paul said what? He said, death, where is your sting? It has no sting on me anymore. We're secure for all eternity, but we're to walk through life with his peace. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says this. Now, before we read this, I want to, just something that's on my heart. He's not talking about your credit card debt. He's not talking about your car breaking down. That's rich people problems, all right? He's not talking about your air conditioner not working. He's talking about troubles and trials that you are going to have for being a follower of Jesus. Jesus says this. He's talking to his disciples. He says, I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I've overcome the world. Now, come on, somebody. Fork Union Baptist Church, there is no doubt in my mind that God has poured out his grace and his peace upon this place. Amen? How can I say that? Well, it's because I see great strength in this church. I see great strength in the numbers and the fact that we are preaching the word. No matter if it's me, Pastor Will, or somebody filling in, somebody's going to be preaching the word. The Sunday school teachers are going to be teaching the word of God. We're not going to come up with some man-made ideas or anything like that. We're sticking to the word of God. We see great strength in this church. I didn't say we see perfection. We're never going to be perfect. We got our flaws. And we can all day long, we can point fingers, whatever, but I see, and I believe God sees great strength in this church, in this place. I see the undeserved blessings of God's love and his care here in this place. I see many people, including me, living and experiencing the peace of God in their life and in their ministries and in the things that God is doing. A strong church has to possess God's grace and his peace. Amen? All right, we're going to verse 2. Y'all still with me? Let's look at verse 2. This is my favorite verse of this whole text. And this is my favorite part of the sermon. He says this: we always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. Here we see that a strong church is one that should stir others to pray. I love that. I love that. It just jumped out at me this week. The church, this is a crucial trait. This is one of those traits that's like, it's got to be here, okay? The whole purpose for God giving us the gift of prayer is because he wants a relationship with us, okay? If me and Jenny, my wife, never communicate, we're going to have some problems. In the times in our life and our marriage that we failed to communicate, that's where the old devil wedged his way in there. And that's when we had our problems. You got to communicate. You got to communicate. God gave us the gift of prayer because he wants communion and communication with us. It is one of the blessed things that we have as believers, because we, number one, we get to experience his presence in our life, but we also get to know his will for our life. The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord. What he wants you to do. You're not bothering him. I got tickled the other day because we were praying. I was praying, I said, Lord, yesterday I woke up and it was raining. We had an outdoor reception later that evening. I said, God, if you could just please clear up this rain for us so the couple wouldn't be encouraged. And I opened up Facebook. I don't know why, because I never even hardly post anything, but I was bored and I opened up Facebook. And the first thing I saw was a friend of mine that goes to another church. He said, God, thank you so much for the well-needed rain. Right? And I said, now I got a little taste of what God must feel like. Like, really? Like, what do you want? Which one do you want? But see, what I'm saying is this. It's a gift. We're not bothering God. He knows what he's doing. He loves it when we bring our request to him. So we can praise him. We can give him thanks for our blessings. We can ask for his will to be done in our life. And we can also ask for his help to accomplish his will. Nothing makes me happier than when my children come to me and say, Dad, can you help me with something? Dad, can you teach me how to do this? That's what a father wants to do. And that's what God wants to do with us. Prayer requires our presence. It requires us to be still, to set everything else aside and start sharing and talking with God, because God wants a relationship. He wants communion with us, not just on the first quarter or month of the quarter, every month when we do communion service here. He wants it every day for us to pray with him. He doesn't want us to have to check it off the list. No, I didn't pray enough yesterday. I need to pray more. He just wants us to come to him as we would our earthly father, and just say, Dad, I need you. I want to talk to you today. God, Dad, thank you for always being there for me. Dad, thank you for my life. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. It's a gift. Fork Union Baptist Church, a strong church, is one that encourages the people to pray. Just had somebody yesterday ask me if we had a prayer team at this church. And I said, well, yeah, we got a prayer team that comes up at the end. He said, no, I mean a prayer team that's meeting regularly, that's interceding right now for what's going on at this church, because the devil doesn't like it. And it was an awakening to me, so we're going to be starting that. Brother, we're going to start that, and I appreciate that word. A strong church stirs others to pray for its ministries. John chapter 15, verse 7 says this: but if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. See, the church in Thessalonica, it stirred Paul to pray. That's so powerful. That's why this is my favorite part of it. When he thought of the church there in Thessalonica, when he thought about those people, he couldn't help but to say, God, thank you for what you're doing there. What a blessing. What a blessing. A strong church should stir prayer. Church, listen, this is the point. When people see all the activities going on here, when they hear about what's going on, when they come to the church, when they drive by the church and they see the parking lot's full and they see the lights are on and they see things are going well, it should stir them into prayer to say, God, thank you for what you're doing down there in Fork Union. I love that. We should be, a strong church is one that people stir about and they can't help but to say, thank you, God, for what you're doing there. But it should also stir us to say, God, we need you. And we go to him with everything and we pray over everything that we do, we commit it to him. Let's go to verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope that you have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this one verse, Paul mentions three things that we need to focus on. Faithful work. Look at it. It's right in there. Loving deeds and enduring hope. Right there. Man, it's a whole sermon right there in one verse. If you really think about it, there are several reasons why people work, right? Some people are forced to work, right? In slavery or whatever else, they're different parts of the world, they are forced to work. There's other people who have a sense of duty, or maybe they feel obligated. They're like, well, like me when I go to work every day. Okay, I got to go do this, right? Or maybe it's to meet their needs. All right, if I want this house and I want to live here, if I want to have food to eat, I got to go to work. Right? And then there's others who maybe it's just some greed in their life, like we all are guilty of, and all have to, maybe they're just trying to build up riches. I'm just work a couple more years, get a little more money in my pocket, I'm gonna build a little bit bigger house, or I'm gonna do this. But see, when a person truly accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, our motives should change about work. You see, it should no longer be about just having to work or working because it benefits us. We're now to serve and we're to work because of and for Christ. His or her love for Christ should stir others also to work as well. And say, man, why are they working so joyful, right? Not so we can build up wealth, not so we can just have more money or whatever we can do, but they work to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Everything we do, everything you do as a believer, everything I do as a pastor, when I go to work, everybody I encounter, and the way that I work, I fail at this miserably sometimes. Should point others to Christ. And they should say, man, why is it that Anthony's always so joyful when he comes to work? Why is it that he doesn't ask for anything? He doesn't complain. He just does his job and he's always thankful with a thankful heart. They work to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. I have this written in the dash of my work vehicle. Sometimes I cover it up because I don't want to see it. But I've got it written in there. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people, right? Especially in the church. That's the way we should be looking at it. The church in Thessalonica worked faithfully. They were faithful workers. They were known for their loving deeds. They had this enduring hope. They didn't give up. And this is what we need to understand. They didn't do all this to try to earn God's love. They did that. They worked faithfully. They did these loving deeds. They had this enduring hope because of God's love that they'd already received. And that's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. They were known for serving the Lord with joyful hearts. Fork Union Baptist Church, I believe, again, the same thing could be said about this church. Again, we're not perfect, and I'm not just sitting here saying we're the best church in Fluvanna County or anything. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just encouraging you today of what I see as the spiritual leader of the church. Not to boast in their deeds, but boasting in what God is doing here and in and through us, through you, through me. We talked about the Following Jesus party. It is not too late to sign up. You got the sheet over there still? It's right there on the seat there. You can go get it. Sign up. Because I can tell you that we had the vision to do this. Our ministry teams got together and we said, instead of us doing something scary, spooky, graveyard, we had some weird people coming up here in the middle of, when we had it at nighttime, dressed like mass murderers and stuff. I said, no, look, I'm not going to preach against Halloween. I'm just saying we can do better as the church. And that's what our team decided. And I said, why don't we do something to spread a little light in the darkness? Why don't we do that? And we all came together. And that's where it became, like, it's like a, I like the little play on words. Somebody said, that's the most Baptist thing I've ever heard in my life. Following Jesus. I think it was my son that said that. But I love it. I love it because it's going to be a great afternoon of just everything that we do is going to, everything you sign up is going to have some scripture, and it's going to shed a little bit of God's love and his light into these children, into their parents. They can come dressed up as ghosts and goblins. That's okay. It's not about that. But we want them to, they're going to have scripture. They're going to leave with candy with scripture attached to it. It's going to be a great day. And if you don't come, you are going to miss the blessing of being a part of it. We have the chance to serve faithfully, just like the church in Thessalonica. And this is just one of our outreaches to reach the community. Loving each person who we meet, enduring in hope, all because of Jesus. Amen? A strong church is a faithful church in their work. They are busy doing deeds of love, and they are enduring in their hope. Finally, look with me at verse 4. I promise this is as far as we're going today. He says, "We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people." Here in this last verse for today, we see that that a strong church is one that displays fruit for God. All right? Now, how did I get that from that verse? It means that they are obvious. It should be obvious that we are God's people. That God has chosen us for a special work right here in Fork Union, and maybe even all around the world. All throughout history, God chooses to partner with people. He chose to partner with people to do and to accomplish his will and to get his work done. Right? He chose Abraham, Noah, Moses, David, right? We can go on. There's all the prophets, all the different people, right? The Sunday school class is talking about Ruth and all the things that God has done through Ruth, and not to mention all the things that tie into the lineage with Jesus and God's awesome plan, his faithfulness. But even Jesus, when he was on earth, what did he do? He chose regular people, 12 men, to carry out his work. And guess what? God still chooses to call people to serve him, to carry out certain things in life. He has a calling for each believer to carry out. And we talked about that earlier. But this is what's on my heart. The chosen that Paul is speaking of here, it's not referring to them as some special group that had special favor from God. That's not what he's talking about, church. You know what he's talking about? He's referring to their salvation. He's referring to the moment that they took advantage of Ephesians chapter 1 that we talked about. Where from the very beginning, God had a plan. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 1 here in a second. He's referring to their salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says this: "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms." What does it say here, church? Because what? We are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family. That sounds like we are God's chosen people there. By bringing us to himself, what, church? This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You see, church, the church in Thessalonica was a strong church that displayed fruit of their salvation. It was obvious that they had been brought to God, that God was working in their life through their faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, it was obvious to others that they were God's chosen people. And what happens is when people see that God is working in a place, it's not like we're God's chosen people and you sinners aren't allowed here. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that people see the fruit in their life and they say, "Man, I want some of that. I want to be a part of that. Whatever they have down there, I want to get plugged in with it." And I believe that's why the church is growing. Again, this church here, I believe we are doing a great job bearing fruit for Jesus. I believe we're doing that. And I'm so proud of it. And I thank God. It stirs me to thank God every time I leave here on a Sunday, every time I leave one of our outreaches. When I left the wedding yesterday, I said, "Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our church, that I get to be a part of this." Not because of anything we have done, but because of what Jesus did for us. The model church is a strong church, and a strong church will be known for loving each other as brothers and sisters. Remember that at the business meeting, all right? I'm just teasing. We always have good business meetings. It's fine. What happens, others will see, and they'll want to belong to the family of God, and they will desire to take advantage of what Christ did for them even before the world was beginning. The plan that God already had to redeem us, because he knew we would fall short. They will receive the good news, the gospel, that God chose them in Christ, just like he chose us. A strong church displays fruit of being God's people. So as we close today, I want to remind us of this. God doesn't just desire for us to be a small country church that meets for worship, does some good deeds. We meet for worship. Maybe we have Bible study. We get together with the choir. The worship band meets and we get together. We have the youth group and we have dinners every so often for all different age groups. And we get together and we fellowship. Nothing wrong with any of that. But that's not God's desire for the church in Fork Union. It wasn't his desire for the church in Thessalonica. What we have to understand, he desires for us to be a model church, to be his church, his bride. He created the church for a work for him to do, to spread and take the gospel to the ends of the world, to make disciples and to teach all the commandments and all the things that Jesus taught us when he was here. That's our job, is to take that out there. We have a mission and a job to do. And a strong church is one that never stops growing. We should never stop growing. If we got to go plant other churches down the road or whatever, and we bless them or whatever, it's not about this church being bigger than another church. We should never stop growing, ever, if we believe what we say we believe. A strong church has faithful ministers. It's a church of the people. We live and we serve under God's grace and his peace. Every time somebody thinks about this place, that should stir them into prayer. We should be stirred into prayer. We should be stirred up to work and to continue and to be faithful workers. And we should live and serve in a way that makes others want to be a part of what we have. They should want what we have because of the way they see us living out and being the church here at Fork Union. Amen? Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, this morning to not just leave this place, enter into budgets and all those other things, talking about meetings or going to lunch or whatever it is. Lord, we want to be your model church. Lord, help us, God, as the church. We call upon you. We use the blessing of prayer right now. Not as running through the motions or a way to transition to the end of the service. We are talking to the creator of the whole universe, our heavenly Father who created us, gave us breath, loves us, sustains us, gives us air to breathe, loves us more than anything else in all creation, enough to give his son. Lord, that's who we talk to today. We're talking to you, our heavenly Father. And we ask you, God, help us to remain strong. Give us your strength. Let us be a strong church who has a heavenly focus, an eternal focus. A heart. Lord, give us your heart to reach the lost. Let it not be about us. Let it be about the one, not the 99. Because that's your heart, God. And we just that's our prayer. Lord, I just pray that Fork Union Baptist Church would continue to grow as the model church based off of what you created it to be. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's never accepted you, they've never experienced your grace and your peace in their life, that comes from only their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray today that that decision would be made. And I pray, Lord, that they would have the boldness to come and stand and proclaim it to the rest of the church, because we're going to celebrate along with all the angels in heaven. Lord, we love you this morning, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If God is calling you this morning, if you've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, the invitation is open. He wants a relationship with you today. God, from the very beginning of creation, he had you in mind. If that is you today, all you have to simply do is just come to the Father and say, I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short, and I'm ready to place my faith in what we've heard today in the gospel of Jesus Christ and what you did on the cross. I can't earn it. I'm ready to receive the gift. It's that simple. And if you want to come and pray with me, I'd be glad to pray with you. If you want to come and share, we would encourage you to do that as we sing. Amen? Amen.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.